Well, we're turning this morning in our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, as we turn to the Scriptures. And I want us to read from verses 46 through to verse 50 in Matthew's Gospel and chapter 12. And I want us to think today about this message which I've called belonging to Christ's family. Belonging to Christ's family. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46 through to verse 50. I'll read the word of God and then we'll just have a word of prayer afterwards. Matthew 12 and verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without or outside, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. We're finishing there at verse 50. We know that God will bless his word to all of our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? And ask the Lord to help us and give us a blessing and a challenge around the word. Father, this day we rejoice that we can say of Jesus Christ to the believer, there is no disappointment in him, that we belong to a family which cannot be dissolved, and we are in Christ, and that shall never be taken from us. Blessed Father, teach us truth. Help us now not to be distracted, not to be caused to go astray in our thoughts by other thoughts of another day and of recent events, but hear with the word of God that we give ourselves to these things. Fill me now with the Spirit, I pray. I'm asking for unction. I know, Lord, I stand here in great need, and we all do this day, for the infilling of the Spirit and for help around the word. We pray for the Savior to be glorified in all things and to build thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. At this time of year, where many people will reflect upon the very special and the very precious bond, which is motherhood, I want us as a church and as individual Christians to remind ourselves about the importance of the family unit as a whole. Even today, as we live in a world which is increasingly secular and ungodly and wicked, and even a society which has, we might say, at an alarming rate, closed the Bible and driven it out of our schools, out of our lives, and out of our society, even an ungodly society still recognizes at the very base level that the importance and the fundamental need for families in society. And even today, as we come into the house of God and we represent a different makeup of homes, we might be individuals, we might be married, we might be about to be married, we might have children, we may have no children. The dynamics that we all have as individuals here in church, they are varied and they are many. But what we recognize is that we make up, as we've been looking in our studies in Corinthians, a body of believers. We are the household of God, as the Bible says, we are the household of faith. Admittedly, we all accept in a temporal sense, in a temporal measure, we may end. Some of us, we've now grandchildren, some of us even great-grandchildren in our young adult years. And we might recognize, we also recognize that there's another angle of times and occasions where there'll be pain. There'll be that sense of loss. There will be sorrow and heartache. There'll be those occasions when people will be a disappointment to us. We've been singing that lovely hymn about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not a disappointment, but that doesn't always translate into the physical, temporal family home. There may be those who prove themselves to be a disappointment to us who are the closest and the nearest to us. Maybe it's the feeling of having no one close to us. Maybe it's those of us here in the house of God this day and we feel as if it's just us on our own. We've no one beside us. It is at such a time as this that we understand exactly the benefit and the blessing that it is to belong to the family of God. And you know, that's one of the things I want to encourage you with. I've said to people in private, I would say it without any fear of being contradicted in the house of God. I'm always slightly hesitant when it comes to Mother's Day and any occasion like this, because I recognize that, you know, there are those who have lost their mums and there are those who can't be mums. And I think it's difficult. It's difficult to bring a message. It's difficult to come across in the house of God and to make sure the message that you bring is one which is truly the word of God for every soul, individual who is represented. But what I can say is we regard our mothers and we regard our family as a whole as that which is given to us by God, that we go even further this day. And we remind ourselves that there is this family that God's people belong to that is most precious and is most glorious. That those of us who are saved belong to the family of Christ. With all that said, by way of introduction, it brings us into our passage of scripture here in Matthew chapter 12. A passage, by the way, which is recorded for us also in Mark's Gospel chapter 3 and also in Luke's Gospel chapter 8. And it's a brief, but it's a very significant passage that relates to us an occasion in the life and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it had the potential to puzzle many people. And when you first look at a passage like this, and you look at the way in which the Savior asks this question, and how he responds, unless we understand more significantly what it means to be part of the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're never going to really truly appreciate why the Savior asked this question, why he said what he said. And so for many people, as it was on this occasion, it was deeply challenging. And for some, it was maybe puzzling. Because the Savior asks this question in the midst of this passage in verse 48, as some have come to him, as we shall see, he puts this question to the multitudes who would hear him speak, and he says, "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" The answer to this and the reason why he said these things will show us what it means to be a true disciple and what it means to really belong to the family of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I've called the message what I have done, belonging to Christ's family. So what is it we can glean from this passage of scripture? I trust that as we do, the Lord will have a message for every one of us. No matter our family dynamic this morning, no matter our thoughts and feelings may be, that we will leave the house of God knowing what it means to be in the family of God and why we must be in the family of God. So when we think about belonging to Christ's family, let me say this, and again, it's quite a startling point to make to begin with, but let me say this, it is a relationship that is far more important than any earthly relationship. Belonging to the family of our blessed Savior is a bond, a relationship, and a tie, as in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is far more significant than even the closest earthly bond that we have known or we do know currently. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's quite a strong thing to say." But I'm only echoing the words of our Lord Jesus here. Let me try to explain this as carefully as I possibly can. How do we know this is true and how do we understand it? Well, we must understand it, first of all, by the Savior's direct words. Now, let's just build the scene for a few moments in our mind's eye. And all that is unfolding here in this very brief passage of Scripture, it's very clear to see that at the outset, the Lord Jesus is speaking to people. If you look at your Bible, verse 46, we find that the Savior is talking to people while he yet talked to the people. Compare Mark and Luke, and it refers to the multitudes. This is not just a small number of people. There are a significant number of people that are hearing the words of our Lord Jesus. It goes on to, well, we go in our thoughts to ask the question, what is he saying? Well, we don't know specifically, but he's not going to be talking about the weather. And he's not talking about, you know, just casual, trivial things. The Lord never wasted one word. And so our Savior is in the business, we might say, of teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what he's doing here in this passage. Now, obviously, he's inside a house. We know that because Mary, his mother, and his brethren, they are outside. The Bible says without just means they're outside. So he's inside some sort of building, most likely a house, and the people are cramming a building. It's a great number. It's quite a spectacle that is before us here. And at this particular time, Mary, who is outside of the home, and his brethren, some, by the way, would suggest that brethren doesn't need to directly mean his half-brothers. The word can also, in the Bible, refer to near kin, could be cousins. Again, we're not entirely sure. We could just take it at face value, say his half-brothers, but it would possibly also mean, you know, just near relations through Joseph and so on, and through Mary. And here we find that as they all gather together, they desire to speak to the Lord. We don't know why they desire to speak to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't be sure. I've read some suggestions that they want to warn him against impending dangers, that he's in danger of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their conspiracies and the plots and the schemes they have against. I think that's a plausible explanation, but I can't be sure. It's what is the way in which he responds that grabs my attention. They come to him with a message. It seems reasonable. Master, outside is Mary and your brethren, your family, and they want to speak to you. Now remember, he's speaking to others. And in that moment, he asks a question. And he says, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Now, we can all do something today in the house of God. It will help our thinking and it will keep us a bit awake if we're drifting in our thoughts. We can do two things. You can dismiss two things in terms of what is meant and not meant here. The Lord, first of all, is not ignorant of who his mother is. And that goes without saying. I think we're all agreed here. The Lord is not saying, I don't know who my mother is, in terms of earthly mother, in terms of Mary. He knows who Mary is. You know, you see the point I'm making? He's not asking a question to gain knowledge. That would be preposterous. That would be a terrible thing to suggest. He doesn't speak in ignorance. He never has. He never will. The Savior is never in ignorance. But let's also dismiss something else. The Lord Jesus Christ is not showing ignorance, and he's not showing arrogance. And he's not speaking downwardly to Mary and towards his family. It's not a disregard. It's not a sort of sneering response. It's not as if we might say, well, who are these? They're beneath me. And we've got to get that idea out of our thoughts this day. That's not how our Savior would be. Remember, from the earliest of age, our Savior showed what? Obedience to Mary and to Joseph, and Joseph as his guardian, and the one that would give him the authority in the earthly capacity, we might say, as a father. If you read Luke 2 and verse 51, you'll see this. From his very infancy and from the very time that our Lord Jesus Christ could speak and how he would interact, there was a perfect obedience our Savior rendered towards his parents. A remarkable thing, isn't it? When you think of the life of our blessed Savior as the perfect man, as the sinless man, our Lord Jesus could not and he would not break the law of God that tells us to honor our father and our mother. And so this would not be a sinful, arrogant, or rude response. That's important for us to remember, because there are times, with all that said, that the Lord Jesus speaks directly, very forthrightly, very particularly. And so we ask the question, Lord, why did you ask this? And why was this the response? And why this question? Well, it was for the benefit of all who heard. And listen, believer, it's for the benefit of all of us here in the house of God this day. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to listen very carefully and understand what I'm saying, and listen as I try to explain it. The Lord Jesus Christ is showing something even more important than the conversation, yea, the very relationships that we have with even our mother. That's quite a thing, isn't it? More important than any close family bond and tie that we have in this world, and listen, we regard them with great love and great affection, is the business and the kingdom of Almighty God Himself. That's what we're dealing with. That's why the Savior said what He said, and that's why He asked a question. Who is my mother and who are my brethren? Do you not see there's something even far greater than even these? And it's the Father's business. Those of you that know your Bibles relatively well, I'm sure you'll go back in your thoughts now to another time when the Savior was 12 years old. I remember the time when ever Mary and Joseph, they felt they had lost Him. Well, they did lose Him to an extent because of the crowds and the pilgrimage and all that was involved. And when they finally found Him, where was the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you know the passage, don't you? He was in the middle of a circle of Jewish doctors and scribes and teachers of the law. And the Bible says He was hearing their questions and He was asking them questions. And Mary comes along, Joseph comes along, and they said to Him, "Why have You dealt with us in this way? We have sought You sorrowing. We've been looking for You with tears. Why have You dealt with us like this?" It's quite a question, isn't it? You put yourself in that situation, if you've been a parent, if you've been a child, and you've ever been lost and it's happened, the emotion, the tensions. You lose your child for a moment, that fear factor which sets in. Where are they? They've gone, they've disappeared. And maybe they've just ran off and you go, what do you think you're doing? We've been looking for You everywhere. That's the feeling you've got here. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in that passage, He responds as only He could, by the way. As only He could. How is it that you sought Me? And then there's the old English, wist ye not, or do you not know that I must be about My Father's business? I want to make you see something today in the Word of God. In any other setting, any other child, because all other children are, you know, the sinful children of Adam, that type of sort of response would almost be borderline arrogant. How dare you speak to me in a manner? I'm your parent, I'm your guardian, I'm the one who cares for you. But we're not dealing with anyone ordinary here. We're dealing with Christ. None loved, let me say this, none loved His mother more than Christ. That is Jesus according to the flesh, okay? Let's get our words careful here. None loved His earthly mother more than the Savior. Because His was a perfect love without blemish and sin and anything else. And none was more obedient. And none was more perfect. And none like our great and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And at the same time, even there at the age of 12, and now in His adulthood, it never changed. He demonstrates here what His business is. And in demonstrating what His divine mission and calling is, He sets a pattern for every child of God that there is even something greater than our earthly bond. And it's to be in the family of God and to do His business and to serve Him. Are you serving Him? Are you doing the will of our Father which is in heaven? And so here, as He stretches out His hands in verse 49 of Matthew chapter 12, and He stretches out His hands to His disciples, He says, "Who's my mother? Who's my brethren?" And He points to the disciples, and you've got the other Marys there probably, you've got maybe other individuals like Martha, right? I don't know who's there. Could there have been a Lazarus? Could there have been other disciples? There could be many of them. And He says, "Look at them all. That's my mother, that's my brother, that's my sister." And He's not talking about that which is according to the flesh. We know that. He says, "There's my family. Here are my people. They're mine. And here is a relationship more special than even the most special of earthly relationships." And I want to make clear, it's not because I'm speaking disparagingly or negatively of our loved ones. I'm not. I'm just saying there's something even more significant. It's understood also by the actions of others. I need to go here because it'll be Father's Day very soon, and I need to think of another message halfway through. Now, it's understood by the actions of others. I believe that this special bond, which is more special than anything else, is also emphasized, maybe possibly in a negative way. Because of the direct nature of our Savior's response, it may mean that either the messengers or even possibly Mary, let's just remember this, she's not without sin. She's blessed among women. She's a woman of God, and we do all that we can to acknowledge those things, but she's not without sin. And there would be times when she would make mistakes and she wouldn't get things right as her disciples. And here they are, and they're sort of knocking on the door. They want to speak. They want to say something. And the Lord is dealing with the souls of others. And I believe strongly, because of the direct nature of the Savior's response, it probably contains something of a gentle rebuke. Don't disturb me. Don't disturb me. I'm about my Father's business. And I would say that we should always make sure, Christian, that we are never responsible to negatively influence another Christian within our family. And that we do everything that really creates an environment where other believers can have their time alone with God, can make known the word of God. We don't want to hold others back. Because there is something even more important. And maybe we do that unknowingly sometimes. Unknowingly that we allow our earthly needs and our earthly bonds and our earthly demands to almost take the priority over what is even far more necessary, the souls of men and women. Let's be about the Master's business, because there is a relationship and a bond even closer than the closest of family members. Belonging to the family of Christ also reminds us of a relationship that is formed by faith and not by nature. It's a relationship that is formed by faith. It's a spiritual thing, not by nature. Notice in verse 49 and 50, the Lord stretches forth his hand towards his disciples, and again, made up of women and men, and those who had followed him and believed in him and confessed him as Messiah and Lord. And he said, "There is my family." I'm just paraphrasing the verse. There's my mother, there's my brother, there's my sister, there's my family. Not disregarding Mary or any near relation, of course not. But wanting to make them see that to belong to the family of God is the most important thing. And now he goes on to say, how is it done? How do you get there? How do you get into the family of Christ? We all know how we become part of an actual family. We have to be born into the family, don't we? And so the Lord Jesus develops this and he explains it. And he says this in verse 50, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." In Luke's account, he words it slightly differently. In Luke 8:21, he says, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." So the question for you today and for me is this: what is it to do the will of the Father? What is it to hear the word of God and do it? Does it mean that we have to demonstrate perfect obedience to the law of God to be part of God's family? No, that's not possible. That's not possible. And I was reminded of that once again on Friday with the boys and the girls, when I asked the question, well, the little boys gives the answer. How to be saved to please God? And that's just how we are by our very nature. We think if we please God, we're gonna become part of the family of God. It's not this. Why? Because if we make the words of Christ, that is to do the will of God in this sense, to mean conformity to the perfect law of God, if that's what we're meaning in this sense, that's certainly true for a Christian who's saved. They must live by the law of God. But to become a disciple, to become a Christian, it's something far different. And the Lord Jesus spells it out very clearly for us. He does so in John 6 and verse 40 when he says this: "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." That was what Christ preached. And the Lord would be doing a U-turn if he came to unsaved people and said, repent and believe the gospel, and then halfway through his ministry, suddenly changed and said, no, you've got to keep the law of God perfectly if God's going to make you a child of God. We're going to understand how we become a Christian is different from the process how we then go on to live as Christians. It is by faith in Christ. It's by receiving him. It's repentance from sin and a wholehearted embrace of Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's what the Savior is saying. There, that woman, that man, that young person, no matter who you are. And you know, this is quite wonderful, isn't it? Because the message that we have here today, it needs to speak to us. To become a member of God's family, to be a child of God, is not a natural procedure. It's supernatural. It's from above. It's from God himself. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anything biological, we might say. And then the Lord goes on to just make it even clearer. In the words of verse 50, whosoever shall do, whosoever. And this was a whole variety of people spread before the very eyes and the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever means me and means you. Jesus does not tie this into rank or reputation. He doesn't, point out amongst the crowds the most noblest and the most important of individuals and say, there's my preference. That can be my family member. Whosoever, all of you, made up of rank sinners, multitude of people, whoever you are, but you've got to understand this. You've got to understand this. You are not part of the family of God. All the time that you are outside of Christ, you may receive the benefits of hearing the word, you may receive the blessings of being under the word of God, and we thank God for that, but you are not part of this family. The family of Christ, unless you are in Christ. It's through faith and by not a natural process. And as I finish, Christian, and I trust this will encourage you richly and immensely in the house of God, here is a relationship as we belong to the family of Christ that is rich with comfort and privilege. Again, I can't say the same for everyone. I don't know everyone's individual family circumstances. I know many of you by now. But, you know, there are times when maybe it's our mother, maybe it's our father, a brother, a sister, and they can be a tremendous help to us. We go to them. But at the same time, they can be a great discouragement to us. On other occasions, it happens. It's a reality. But hear the words of our Lord Jesus. He says, if you're on my family, you're mine. Just let that sink in. You're my mother, and he's not speaking in the literal sense there, and you're my brother and your sister. He's just saying you belong to me. I'm your elder brother. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our kinsman redeemer. He's everything that we need, isn't he? Now, we know from the wider teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ that true discipleship, the genuine Christian walk, it was never promised to be easy. And the Lord in this passage was not promising discipleship on easy terms. This wasn't a, hey, all will be fine for you message. No, it involved counting the cost. It involved taking up the cross. And for the early church, it came with loss. And people would lose their lives. They would lose their family members. They would lose the love of others. They would be turned against. You're now one of his. We don't want to know you. We don't want anything to do with you. We don't want to associate with you. And that's the hardest thing sometimes about being in a family where it's divided spiritually, is that you've got to take a stand when a stand has to be taken, and that can create tension. And that's not easy, but you've got to do it. If you're in the family of Christ, you have to do it because you're his. And for many, it will suffer persecution. Authentic Christianity will always carry with it a variety of tests and trials in one way or another. We have to speak up in a family and maybe defend the gospel. We may need to take a different path. We're not to choose the world, but him. And there is immeasurable comfort in these words for you at such a time. The same is my family. Our Lord Jesus views and treats all of his blood-bought people as his very own. I just think that's so wonderful. And I want that to just deeply embed itself into your life. J.C. Ryle, Bishop J.C. Ryle, has, as we know, excellent commentaries on the Gospels. And he's such a great devotional piece on this piece. And let me just quote from one of his many sayings. He says this: he, that is Jesus, he loves them. He feels for them. He cares for them. I reckon today we don't know that the half is what we should do. I think many of us as Christians have never really plunged the depth of what this means. We play down, maybe sometimes unknowingly, we play down what it means to be in the family of Christ. A love that has no, we might say, sever. It cannot be broken, it cannot disappoint us. Here is a devotion that is never beyond doubt, and a dedication to us. Oh, what an honourable relationship we have in our Saviour. Maybe you feel particularly alone in the house of God. This day I began with an illustration. You say, but I've got no one. I feel like I've got no one. That's not true, Christian. You've got everything you need in Christ. He's your mother, brother, sister. In that sense, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, but in the literal sense, but your family, your life, he's everything. And you say, well, I've come into the house of God unwanted, and maybe my family's left me, and maybe loved ones have gone before me, and that's the grief that I have. Ah, here is a bond and relationship that knows no disappointment. The same is mine, the Savior says. You're his. Forever his. But you have to be his by faith. And I don't want anyone to leave the house of God this day, not in the family of God, not right with God. Oh, what a joy it is to belong to the family of Christ. We'll just